And welcome back to Pop Culture Kaboom, live radio show on 95.1 FM in Carson City, your Carson City community media alternative, and also live streamed at knbc.org. Now I'm going to be talking with Mr. Russell Emanuel. He is the critically acclaimed director of Girl with a Gun, Chasing the Green, PJ Nathaya, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Occupants, which was his big breakout film, The Assassin's Apprentice, and Whisper. And also he does a web series called The Meeting. And it's an honor and a privilege to finally be able to speak to him. Third time is a charm. And how are you, sir?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no problem. It took us a while to get this arranged. First, so you got unfortunately ill, so I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah.
And then you were on set.
Thank you.
And recording and doing and filming your latest movie, which we will get to. My first question is how did? I forgot to mention Caller too. You've got quite a collection of films going on. But my first question is how did you get into directing film?
Well, I've always been a fan of film, especially film music. John Williams, the composer, was a big inspiration for me. So I think my parents were telling me when I was five, I kept watching the Superman film over and over again because of the music. And I just loved it. So I think what really did it for me was I was like 15 and I watched Jurassic Park in the theater. And then there's the scene in the helicopter when they're approaching the island. And the music works so well with the acting, with the cinematography. It just was so magical. And that's what did it for me. So... because of that, I was able to get into the USC Cinema program. And after I graduated, I started making the films you were mentioning, like Girl with Gun, which was my short film that I did probably like 15 years ago. And that's the one that got me my big break, which was PJ, my first feature film that starred the late John Hurd in the lead role.
Yeah. Impressive. Now, when you were watching that Superman movie over and over again, did you have like a notepad and were like critiquing it? Anything like that when you were younger?
Well, no, it's just in my mind. It worked. The score to Superman by John Williams was just so iconic. You know, it captured the, the Americana spirit of Superman in that film. And, you know, whenever you heard his theme, it's like you can feel you're like you're Superman, you're flying, the energy, the enthusiasm. And then they had a kind of like a bridge, which was the love theme for Lois Lane, and that was the other side of Superman. And something about that theme was just it's perfect, you know, it just works so well for the character. And whenever I approach a movie now, and I have a composer, his name is Vasilis Malefis. I do that. I do a music breakdown, if you will. So, it's like the composer is sometimes called the unseen actor. For me, it's the actor that emotes. And so, like a character in a film, the composer or the music also has an arc. So I'm very particular about that. And that's also the case with Occupants and now with Whisper.
So Occupants was kind of the first film that kind of drew you to my attention. And back then, you only had like four film festival awards for that thing. Now you have like over 50 plus. You got so many, you can't even see the poster anymore on that you have for the film. It's all just film festival label awards or film festival logos and stuff. So how long is that, how do you feel about winning all of these awards and for your film, and how has that brought you more kind of a claim?
Well, I'm very grateful that people like the film, especially the film festivals. I had the trust of my investors, my producer Howard Nash. I worked with a great team, including my DP editor Emil Harris. I mentioned Vasilis, Sean Fahimi and our sound guy. I worked with these people many times before, so it's kind of like movie magic for me. But it was like we worked with a Star Trek actor. His name is Robert Picardo, and I've directed him several times before. And every time he's on one of my films, he's a consummate professional, and he likes to like mentor the younger actors, in this case Brianna White and Michael Pagliacci, who played Annie and Neil Curtis. And you know, it just, he's such a nice guy, you know. And it was just a joy to see, you know, all three of them just interplay with each other in the film. And luckily, when we actually completed the film, people seemed to have liked it. So, yeah, I'm just incredibly grateful. And to be on a show like yours, you know, I just want to say thank you.
Oh, thank you. No, actually, it's always an honor and a privilege to be speaking with you. And just so everybody knows, the movie synopsis, it's movie synopsis for Occupants. They're here. Occupants is about a young couple who discover a parallel version of themselves in a documentary they are shooting while surfing the internet, because that's where you'd see stuff like that. And they they discover this parallel version of themselves while editing their film. But there's more. Actually, the plot outline doesn't really give it much as much detail as the trailer did for it that I watched, which kind of they're kind of going on there and they're editing the film, and it's kind of the there was a film not too long ago that they did is kind of mimicked the style of this film, because this was your film. I was released what, in 2015, is that right? Occupants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And last year they had one, gosh, I wish I could remember what it was called, where the dad is like trying to track down what happened to his daughter. She got kidnapped or something. And, it's similar along the lines of what you did with this one, but, not as good if you ask me. But anyway, I digress. So there, she's editing the film, and it's like she sees all these weird scenes going on behind her, but it's the same house, and it's just very bizarre. And Robert Picardo, who was the doctor for Star Trek Voyager, if everybody remembers watching Star Trek Voyager, he plays kind of like your kind of typical get out of the house, it's haunted kind of guy, right?
Yeah, he plays Dr. Alan Peterson, who is the head of Peterson Research Institute. And that's the supposed company that put together this found footage film called Occupants. So it's tracking Annie and Neil Curtis's case, which is case 831, which is actually an in-joke because that's my birthday, August 31st.
Well, hey,
I
now.
Put a lot of in-jokes in my film, you know, so it's kind of fun to do that.
I bet. And then after that, you did The Assassin's Apprentice, which is kind of an action-adventure film. And what exactly is the behind that film? Because that one's starting to rack up the Film Festival Awards also.
Yeah, I was very, very happy. We actually just won the best action adventure film at the Chandler International Film Festival. And that's actually a very good festival. And, you know, I was just very honored that we were able to win. But what happened was the brainchild of my executive producer and writer, his name is Paul Hickman. And he actually came on board Occupants. We did a crowdfunding campaign for Occupants through Indiegogo. And he was one of the backers that basically contributed a certain amount. He got to go on set and meet Robert Picardo. So he's a big Star Trek fan, and that's why he came on board. And thank you, Paul, because it's been a very good adventure ever since you came on board Occupants. But yeah, right now it is, as you said, racking up the awards, which I'm very grateful for. And we are actually doing a sequel, which we're going to be filming in March. The Assassin's Apprentice actually has Robert Picardo again, and he plays Pete, who is a master assassin. And then we also have Marina Sirtis, who was a counselor, Deanna Troi, on The Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
And she plays the handler named Miranda. And basically, they're both trying to control the apprentice, played by Tara Page, who's actually a renowned stunt actress in Hollywood, in films like Alice in Wonderland. And she's the rebellious Kaylee, who likes to do things her own way. So it's kind of like, I would say it's more like an action comedy, you know, because this apprentice, she fumbles a lot, you know. It's not perfect at all. So it's comedy. And whenever I see the reactions in the theater, people always laugh at certain moments. And I'm not going to spoil it, but, you know, I know what the – these are like little running gags, if you will. Pardon the pun, because she does run in the film. but, yeah, basically, people seem to like that kind of, you know, fumbling kind of character, which is what she portrays. So, yeah, we did that, what, I think like 3 years ago. And we completed post about a year ago.
Wow.
So, yeah, and, you know, we – the very first festival we got into, the Independent Filmmaker Showcase, that was in its 26th year, and we were awarded the Best Thriller Short Award at the very first festival, and it made my producer very happy.
Awesome.
He brought his wife and his daughter, and it was like this red carpet, star-studded event, and it was, you know, I was happy that he was happy, basically.
Well, that's awesome. And after that was the movie Caller, and a very ominous looking poster for it. It's a, you know, kind of a flat red color with a black's gun design with a silencer on it. What was that film about?
So that one is not a comedy. Completely the opposite of comedy. Basically, it's about. I can't really say too much, otherwise I'll give it away. But it's about Catholic priests and their sins. But there's more to it than that. So it's really a thriller film. So the thing is, if I gave away the ending, it'll completely spoil the movie. But it's definitely it has been getting recognition at places like World Fest Houston, where we won a special jury award, which is a really good award. So in this case, that was a brainchild of my writer-producer, Troy Gabaldon, who I met through Occupants. And again, everything's connected to Occupants. We were both screening at a festival, at the Downtown Los Angeles Film Festival, and we just, you know, befriended each other. I saw his films, I was asking questions, and we just got to know each other. And then we both met at Shriekfest again. And at Shriekfest, Occupants won the Best Sci-Fi Feature Award there. So since that point, he says, Russ, you know, I have the script, and I'm usually a director, but I want you to direct it. No, forgive me. I want you to direct it. And I was very honored, and he actually paid me, you know, and it was a very, very, I love the script. You know, his writing is very edgy and is very satirical. And when you see the film, you'll understand why. Now, we're actually doing a feature film together called Testament, which is not, it's not what Caller is, but it's kind of like a road trip kind of story, but it's very nitty gritty also. So I'm very, very excited to be working with Troy on that project.
Awesome. And I assume this is the latest film by you, and that is Whisper. And the synopsis on it is, Whisper is the shocking story of the murder of a middle-class African-American family. In June of 2016, three children and their mother were found shot to death at their suburban home in northern New Jersey and discovered by father and husband Josiah Whisper, a brash businessman who owned bars, restaurants, and real estate in Harlem, New York. Joshua's Whisper was eventually ruled out as a suspect by law enforcement officials, probably because he was at work, but never in the eyes of those in his community, the people who he had known for nearly half his life. Josiah embarks on a search to find out who killed his family. His personal video recordings and diaries take us to family, friends, police precincts, newspapers, drug dens, and street gang hangouts, all with the hope of piecing together clues needed to solve this perplexing and tragic crime, not knowing if he will become the next victim. And so that's your latest one. Is that out now where people can actually view it, or are we still waiting on it?
No. It's still in post-production. We're still working on certain elements, like something called ADR, which is automated dialogue replacement, where an actor comes in, and for, let's say, there's a technical reason, they have to redo the line. So this is actually like a recreation based on a true story. There's a true story behind this, something that happened in the 70s. And this is a passion project to my producer, Howard Nash. And Howard, by the way, basically he produced all my feature films, every single one of them, from PJ, Chasing the Green, Messiah, Occupants, and now this film. So five films together, we worked together. And he wanted to do this film for like 30 years. So I guess the stars aligned. And then in July 2017, I flew over to New York, and we filmed in New Jersey, in Harlem. And it was a very intense shoot. It was a very amazing shoot. And it's like found footage, like Occupants, but it isn't. Because Occupants is what? Two main actors and Robert Picardo in the supporting, in one house, interior, for 81 minutes. That's it. And luckily, we were able to make that exciting, right?
kept the overhead costs down, that's for sure.
Oh, definitely then. That's why Howard wanted to do Occupants. This one, we had 12 locations. We had 100 actors, including background. It was just a very harrowing shoot. And literally, I was transported from one location to another, to another, to another. So the only person that came with me from my previous film was my director of photography, Emil Harris, who also edited the film. And he did Occupants, by the way. And basically, we just flew together. And, you know, when we weren't shooting, we went out to... We're like foodies, so we went to different places, and you know, in New York, to get the good food that they have there. It was a great experience. I got to work with a great cast, including the lead. His name is Christian Barber, and I'm actually going to meet him in 2 days to do ADR. So this film I'm very excited about. And to be honest, when I was shooting it, I was so in the zone that I had no idea the magnitude of the film until I saw the trailer. And the trailer was cut by a very wonderful person named Melisande Bliss. And the way she edited together and added this very nitty-gritty music, I was like, whoa, I directed this? So even I was kind of like, befuddled, if you will. And when I saw the first cut of the film, I realized we had a really good film on our hands. So I'm very excited to be able to show this film to the masses, probably in a couple months. What my producer wants to do is target the high-tiered film festivals. So that's the game plan right now. Mm-hmm. And as my motto is, in Howard, I trust. I trust my producer.
In regards to the trailer for Whisper, is there a link or any way that, say, like I could watch this?
Oh, yeah. You could go to whisperproject.com. That's Whisper without an H. So it's not like whispering. It's Whisper. It's his last name, WISPER, project.com. And if you go there, the trailer's on that site, so you'll be able to see it.
Awesome. That's something that I will definitely do after the show, because I really enjoy all the trailers and everything that I've seen up from you so far, so I'm sure I will enjoy that one as well. And we're going to have to take a hard break here, but as soon as we get back, stay on the line through the break, sir. And when we get back, what we're going to do is talk about what you have coming up next, any recommendations or any kind of advice you can give to up-and-coming directors, as well as my pick on what I think you should do in regards to superhero movies. So all of that is still coming up, and it'll be an interesting, fun conversation. And you're listening to Pop Culture Kaboom on 95.1 FM, and I am interviewing Mr. Russell Emanuel, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Pop Culture Kaboom Radio Show on 95.1 FM, KNVC, your Carson City Community Media Alternative. And I am interviewing Mr. Russell Emanuel. He is an award-winning director of the films Occupants, The Assassin's Apprentice, and Caller. He just got done. He's still in post-production on his latest production, which is Whisper. And he is also about to go into filming his next movie, which is the sequel to The Assassin's Apprentice. And we were talking about your movies and what everything that you've got going on so far. And so everybody who is listening, if you would like to check out all of his movies, they are on his official website, which is www.russem.com. And he is also on the Facebook at, as soon as I can find it. Oh, that's the wrong one. I got up the Occupants one. Ha ha. That was silly.
That's a good one.
I'm sorry?
Fine.
Yeah, you have the Facebook pages for all of your movies as well. But you can be also at www.facebook.com/chasingthegreen, all one word. And you can see all of his films. But so we were talking about all of the movies you have done. I mean, and like I said, Occupants has 50 plus awards. Caller is probably up to like 20. The Assassin's Apprentice, I think, has 30. So you're just piling them on. So kind of in an independent film industry, though, when do you think you'll be like doing stuff for like Lionsgate? Because I'm surprised they haven't, hired you on yet.
Well, that is my my end goal, actually. I grew up liking blockbuster films, so I would love to do blockbuster films, like really big budget blockbusters. I mean, it's a hard industry. It really is, and you just have to keep persisting. And that's what I'm doing. So it could be Whisper that, really, really, really hit the jackpot, even more so than Occupants. And maybe that's the film that will propel me. You never know.
That is true. So if you were to give any advice, because you have since you have such experience in the indie film industry, and it shows that you know what you're doing, because you just don't happenstance win these awards. Do you have any advice for anybody out there who is an upcoming or who wants to get into directing films, or who are already is in the process of directing and just don't know what kind of steps to take to get their film to the next level like you have?
Well, I was going to say that, number one, at this point in my career, I have no regrets whatsoever. And, however far anybody goes, you should never have regrets, because as long as you persisted and tried hard, then I think that's the reward in itself. But that said, I definitely, persisted, and I teamed up with the right people, and I seemed to have targeted the right film festivals. And this was back when I did Girl with Gun. You see, I did a film before that called Her Night, and it was really bad. So it was awful. And one of our actresses actually was Nicole Alvarez, who was the girlfriend of Dr. Conrad Murray. And that with the Michael Jackson thing.
Yeah.
So, that was one of our actresses in our film. Back then it was, we didn't, that was like 17 years ago. But basically what I did was I took the lessons from that film, and it was a 30-minute film. I tried to make it too long, and it got, the pacing was off. Everything was off, but I learned a lesson. And, some people would just, just give up and say, oh, I can't do this. Well, I said, you know what? I'm going to try again. So I did with Girl with Gun. And it was lean, it was mean, and I guess it was a fighting machine, because, it was able to get into places like Comic-Con. And that was a big deal for us. Comic-Con, that's the one in San Diego.
Oh, and San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, Comic-Con's amazing, and now it's just a madhouse. And Occupants got into Comic-Con also, so, between Occupants and Girl with Gun, that's been, like, a good 10 years. They really, they just expanded, like crazy. But back then, so it was, like, 2006, yeah, you know, I mean, I just had a short film. You know, I haven't directed any features. And what happened was I met Howard through another friend at a bar in on the Sunset Strip in Hollywood. And, you know, it's just a happenstance meeting. My friend's like, hey, Russ, I want you to meet Howard. So I'm like, okay, fine. So I met them, and that was in 2004. And 2 years later, I reconnected with Howard. And he's like, okay, let me see what you have, you know. So I sent him Girl with Gun. And he's like, hey, not bad, not bad. Okay, so, you know, I have a feature called PJ. And he told me if I could raise the other half of the funds, I could direct the film. And he already had the actor John Hurd, the Home Alone dad, attached. And I was able to raise the other half. So I was able to direct a feature film where my main star was John Hurd, the late John Hurd, who died 2 years ago. And it had not just him, but it had Robert Picardo. It's the first time I ever worked with them. We had Vincent Pastore from The Sopranos, Glynis O'Connor, Eddie Malavarta, Haley Kate Eisenberg, who was the Pepsi girl, you know, back like 20 years ago.
Hmm.
So basically, this is 2006, mind you, and I'm 29, and I had this cast. And we shot over 17 days, and I had to shoot it in New York, and I live in Los Angeles. So basically, I was, you know, living outside my suitcase for about 2.5 weeks. And it was a very surreal experience. But what was it? The only 2 days off I had were Christmas and New Year's.
Wow.
And on those days, we did laundry. But I was thinking, you know what? You know, yeah, this is a trial by fire. But I'm in a place that I know a lot of other filmmakers want to be. So, you know, I'm not going to complain. I'm just going to keep persisting. Luckily, the temperatures did not get below like 40.
Yeah.
We did have a night shoot, and it was like 43. And yeah, I'm from LA, so 43 is actually cold. So I was freezing my buns off, but all the New York cast and crew is like, Russ, this is not cold. I'm like, it's cold. They go, trust me, it's not cold.
To and, you, it's not cold, but to...
Yeah. And then like 3 days after the shoot ended, it then went into the 20s. And I'm going, okay, now I get it.
Girl, I'm done. I'm out of here. Yeah, that kind of threw me off, yeah. Too, because if it gets down to 40 degrees in Florida, it's kind of, you know, game over there, you know. It's, everybody thinks it's Antarctica, trust me. Actually, if it gets to 65 for a low, that everybody thinks they're going to, you know, die of frostbite or something, believe it or not. Yeah.
Well, wasn't there 1 year where was it the orange crop? It did get kind of cold and the orange crop suffered?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what they do when it actually gets down that cold? They turn on the sprinklers and so that everything is like it's this sheet of ice over it, believe it or not. And that's supposed to try and save the orange crops. And it's fact. It was kind of a weird fact, but I don't know why I know that. I've never been I've been to an orange grove. You know what else is weird about orange trees? They literally have like inch-long spikes on them, on the trees. Because I had tried to climb one once to get an orange,
and
I was getting stabbed, you know, and it hurt. So those things are vicious, vicious plants. But anyway, I digress. So yeah, I figure
no pain, no gain, I guess.
Well, I didn't gain because I didn't get very far because those thorns were everywhere, and it was made it impossible to climb the tree. That's why whenever you see people picking oranges, they're on ladders. That's why. But anyway,
That makes sense. Thank you for that. I mean, that actually is fascinating.
I don't know if it's like that with the orange trees in California though, but I can tell you the ones in Florida.
Well, what's ironic is I live in Orange County. And I have not seen an orange tree in so long. So it's not what it used to be. You know, the orange groves are not very existent anymore here. So
wow, so not a single orange left in Orange County. That sounds like a movie title.
No, I don't think it's that bad, but it's not like what it used to be. So, yeah, times have changed.
They could call it Orangeless County.
There you go.
There you go. I like that. Steal that title.
Okay, so my next question for you is, with the success of the MCU and just recently with Aquaman, which has become the highest-grossing DCEU movie, have you put thought into what, and since you're a big Superman buff, if you were to, given the opportunity, what superhero movie would you like to direct?
You know, it's funny that, you know, I did mention Superman, but it was for the music. But my actually my favorite superhero is Batman.
Ah.
And I kind of like the, basically it's like film noir. You have light and dark. And Batman, I think, is the most human of the superheroes. If you think about it, he doesn't really have superpowers. He just has all these technological gadgets, right?
Yeah.
And he does super fantastic things. But he's a flawed human being. And, you know, I think we're all flawed in ways. So, you know, I can understand the Bruce Wayne slash Batman character. And if I were able to direct, that'd be incredible. Because I did grow up on the Tim Burton Batman film. So yeah. For me, Michael Keaton is Batman.
Ah.
And, you know, I would not mind seeing him reprise the role. Supposedly, there's a petition that, you know, for an older Batman.
Yeah, so, you know what? It'd be good as the Frank Miller, if you read the, if you're into comic books, the Frank Miller Dark Knight.
Yeah.
That would be perfect for
exactly,
him.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, exactly. That, I think that's what the petition is. I would love to see that. And, you know, I don't know. For me, Michael Keaton, he just has the look. He has the demeanor of Batman, you know. And I just like the Tim Burton feel. So, yeah. I love the music of Superman, but I love the feel of, you know, just Batman, you know, the atmosphere and everything.
So you'd prefer John Williams over, oh, boy, what's his name?
Danny Elfman?
Yeah, I was going to say from Oingo Boingo. That's how far back I was going to reach for his name. But yeah, Danny Elfman.
Oingo Boingo. No.
Huh?
I love Danny Elfman. Don't get me wrong. His scores are amazing. I own a lot of his scores. You know, I love it, you know. But for me, I did grow up with John Williams. So,
I bought Danny Elfman's CD, Movie for a Darkened Theater, that had a lot of his soundtrack stuff on it. Or his movie scores, and, you know, I had the Simpsons theme as well as, you know, Beetlejuice and basically any movie that Tim Burton has done, he's done the music for. So all of that stuff.
Yeah, no, that, by the way, is you know, like the director-composer relationship, which I find very important. So like Steven Spielberg and John Williams, they basically work together on every one of Spielberg's films. I mean, John Williams did miss a couple here and there. But same thing with Tim Burton and Danny Elfman. So their relationship, I think, goes back to, was the Pee Wee Herman film? Was it Big Top Pee Wee?
Yep.
In 85? I think that's their first collaboration. Maybe there was something before.
Well, hey, you know, but, if you work well with somebody, you want to stick with them, right?
Exactly. And that's what I love about that. I look at, like, you know, the director Ron Howard. And I think, was it Brian Grazer is his producer pretty much on every one of his films. And I kind of like to look at that, like myself and Howard Nash, you know, we just are able to work together.
So,
So
my thoughts on this you know, looking at, you know, your past resume with Occupants and the Assassin's Apprentice and Collar and the latest one, Whisper, and the upcoming Assassin's Apprentice 2. Sequel. I think that probably the best film for you to do is a character overlooked a lot, but and it's not Marvel. It's actually, it would be in the DCEU. So if anybody from that branch of the DC comic or DC is listening, Dr. Fate.
Hmm.
Are you familiar with Dr. Fate?
Not as much as Batman.
Well, here's a quick little thing on him. Kent Nelson, in parentheses, Dr. Fate, was trained by the wizard Naboo to become the DC Universe's version of the Sorcerer Supreme, Doctor Strange. His magic was powered by the mystical helm of Naboo. Since Nelson's time, there have been several men to take the title of Dr. Fate. All of them were and are the go-to mystical powers in DC Comics. And with a kind of action-adventure background as well as kind of the supernaturalishness of Occupants, I think this would be a great character as far as for that you could develop into a film.
You know, it's fascinating to say that because one of my favorite Marvel comics heroes is actually Doctor Strange, and that movie I thought was fantastic. You know, again, it's about a flawed character, which, you know, I can associate with, basically, you know. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to do my homework.
On Dr. Fate?
Thank you.
Hey, I hope you enjoy it. It was actually a toss-up for me. It was either going to be Dr. Fate or Zatanna. And I don't know if you know who Zatanna is.
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
I'm probably mispronouncing it anyway because I'm horrible like that. But Zatanna. And Zatanna is the daughter of the powerful magician Zatanna, has since surpassed her father to become a powerful magician in her own right. Zatanna has the ability to make almost anything happen as long as she can say it backwards. Provided that an enemy can't slap a hand over her mouth first, Zatanna has already won any battle that she is in. Too bad she can't say, I ain't going to try and say that either. Eno Redmum Make'em number one. Oh, okay. It's Make'em number one backwards. It's an interesting little twist. I mean, it can have a little bit of an element of comedic value to it, but also the physicality of someone who's a magician or who's more embodied as a mortal magician, I think would be something more along the lines of also something that you would be more than capable of kind of taking this character from the printed page to, and I know they've done him in the DC animated movies, and she's made a couple of appearances there, but I think that you would be one of the best possible people to bring her to actual film.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm actually a big fan of Japanese anime. I'm also half Japanese, but I do like the more nitty-gritty anime films like Akira.
Uh-huh.
Or Ghost in the Shell, and even the sequel, Innocence. I just like that kind of style. So, yeah, you know, this is definitely very good food for thought. I like it.
So that's kind of the stuff that goes through my head when I talk to directors and or when I...
No, I love this. Thank you.
So, you know, it's like, I take everybody what you've done and kind of mesh it around and think to myself, what would be something really cool for them to do? And that's what comes up. Oh, and we're at a hard break. When we get back, we'll be talking more with Mr. Russell Emanuel. He is the award-winning director of Occupants Caller, The Assassin's Apprentice, and hopefully now that once it comes out, Whisper. But we will be right back with more with him, and we only have 20 minutes left of the show. So if you have any questions for him, do give us a call, 775-515-4141, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to Pop Culture Kaboom on 95.1 FM, your Carson City Community Media Alternative. And I am speaking with acclaimed film director and also award-winning film director, Mr. Russell Emanuel. And how are you enjoying the conversation so far, sir?
Oh, I love this. Thank you. I really do. This is, you know, especially with Dr. Fate. Now I'm definitely going to do my homework. Thank you for that.
Hey, no problem.
You and inspired me, so thank you.
Well, if they pick it up, I get 10%. I'm just kidding.
Okay, done deal.
So, and now we're moving forward. Things you got the filming of the Assassin's Apprentice sequel, which is coming up this year. You got one that's already in post production, which is Whisper, which will be coming out this year. So you got a lot of irons in the fire. Anything else going on? You mentioned that a couple of your films have appeared at the San Diego Comic-Con. Any plans on doing any other kind of con appearances aside from the apparently every single film festival ever made being attended?
No, I wish I could attend every festival we get in. I really do. Sometimes it's just impossible to make every one of them. So to all the film festivals out there, I do apologize. But Would love to go back to Comic-Con. I mean, right now we don't know, but you know, with the Assassin's Apprentice, because of the Star Trek theme, this is definitely a possibility. Actually, we are at I think called Mysticon. Do you know Mysticon?
No, where's that at?
I think that's I gotta look it up. But Mysticon is a convention where they're gonna screen, I think, Occupants and also The Assassin's Apprentice. Oh, we are gonna be at the Farpoint convention on February 9th.
Oh.
So a screening of The Assassin's Apprentice. So we are there.
Well, that's funny because I did list that one earlier in the show when I was going through all the cons and events coming up. So I did mention that one.
Yeah, and that one, I think Robert Picardo is going to be there, I think.
As well.
Now I'm going to be, you know, busy with pre-production for filming Assassin's Apprentice 2, which is why a lot of this I cannot do, you know, because I have to focus on, you know, just directing. And so Mysticon's in Virginia. And that one is going to screen both Assassin's Apprentice and Occupants. And Picardo is the media guest of honor there. So that's in Virginia.
And you're going to be, and you are actually going to be at that one as well, right?
I wish. We're filming in early March. It's just, it's impossible, unfortunately. You know, I mean, I'd love to, the last, you know, I was able to go to the Rendezvous Film Festival, which I think is nearer to you. That's in Amelia Island, Florida.
Oh, no, I'm in Carson City, Nevada, so, yeah.
Oh, so you're in Nevada now?
Yeah, I used to live in Florida, but my little brother was born there, and my older brother still lives in Jacksonville, but I live in Carson City, Nevada. So, actually, Reno, and, you know, depending on the scenery for the Assassin's Apprentice, maybe the Reno area would, the high desert of Reno, Nevada would be a nice filming area for you.
Yeah, you know, I will tell Paul this because number one, I've never been to Reno, so just as a tourist, I would love to go.
Well, there's a lot you can do here. I mean, Lake Tahoe's at least from Carson City. Lake Tahoe's 30 minutes away. They used to have the Ponderosa Ranch up there where they used to film Bonanza.
Right.
30 minutes to the east is Virginia City, where of course they filmed as well for Bonanza, and yeah. And there's actually a lot of cool. We're mentioning, you know, last week, Bill and I were kind of commenting because where the radio station studio is in the historic Adams House here in Carson City. And I was mentioning that it should be part of the ghost walk that they do here in Carson City twice a year, where they have guided tours of all the haunted locations in Carson City.
I've heard of this. Somebody was on a tour and they went to Winchester House and then they stopped at the Carson House. And then like the Clown Motel was part of that tour also.
Oh,
I am fascinated by haunted houses. So, you know, that could be a reason for me to go to Reno now.
Well, and I mentioned actually in Virginia City too, because I don't know what it was, but something happened on Halloween in Virginia City, because I went there. The graveyard is just on the outside of town of Virginia City, and I kind of like graveyards, so I was walking around with my wife, and we were taking pictures of tombstones and stuff. But I noticed that a lot of the tombstones, a lot of people died on Halloween night. I think it was like in 1863 or something like that, some weird date. I'd have to look it up for sure.
Was there a fire or anything like that?
I have no idea.
I know there was like a fire that wiped out Virginia City at one time. Could that have been the day?
No, because I know that everything that I've seen about that fire, it was you know, during the summer or something like that, and that was from a lantern falling over or something. But yeah, no, it gets too cold around here for people to be monkeying around with a fire. No wonder they let it just burn. I wouldn't go outside if it was cold either, but maybe that's why they died. But yeah, there's all kinds of good stuff, and then plus, you know, if you want barren, alien-looking terrain, all you have to do is go maybe 5 miles out of town, and you're in the high desert, which is a very interesting locale. But now that I've kind of sold you on coming and visiting, we do have a pop culture con coming up, and lots of cons coming up in starting this summer, so, and especially in November.
Nice. Oh, nice. I'll take a look. Pop Culture Con. Okay.
Yes, Reno Pop Culture Con. It'll be the first year for that one too. So I'll send you the info on that one.
please do. Thank you.
So other than the filming, you got a lot of movies out there. What would be the best way? I know that some of your films are on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. You can watch Chasing the Green and Occupants on Amazon Prime. And if you just have Amazon, you can get a digital copy of Messiah. They're all on Amazon. So, if you're interested in seeing one of those films, that's where you go. And, you can, if you go to my site, they have links to each of the film pages, and they should, they have links to go to, where to get these, I guess. So, my site's russin.com, russem.com. And let's say then you click on the Occupants poster, you go to occupantsthemovie.com, and then there's a direct link to Amazon Prime, for Occupants.
Now, I got a couple of quick questions for you, at least off of your website, russem.com. You have up there the Meeting web series. Is that something you're still doing, or is that kind of ended?
Yes, thank you for reminding me. Yes, I'm... Yes, we're doing a fifth webisode. We're going to be filming in the summer.
Awesome.
So it's like this very quirky web series, and we're working with a great team called Clap It. It's clapit.com. And for any aspiring actors, it's actually a very good site to go to. So I recommend it. But basically, if you get the most claps of the top five male and female, the director or the producer, whoever's doing whichever project, for instance, for us, the Meeting, we get to choose the winner of the top five of each male and female based on their audition they submit to clapit.com.
Hmm.
So we're teaming up with them. We actually teamed up with Clapit on Whisper and many other projects since then. So they're very good people. So we are filming in New York, and it will have to be after Assassin's Apprentice, the sequel. But then probably in April or May, we're going to be filming around, the New York area, New York City.
Ah, okay. And one other thing from the website, Sean Kenny Alien Cross Project.
Ah, yes, yes. So that project is Sean Kenny, you might know, was the crippled Captain Pike in the original Star Trek series.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the two-part episode, The Menagerie. So he was basically Captain Pike in a wheelchair, all radioactive burned, and he couldn't talk.
Yeah, so hopefully he didn't get paid by the word for those episodes, because he just...
yeah, exactly. One beep or two, right?
Yeah.
Boop.
He also had another role, Lieutenant DePaul, on the original series, and he has very fascinating stories about Gene Roddenberry. And so I'm working with them on their series called Alien Cross, which I can't say too much about it, but it's a sci-fi show. It involves UFOs, and it's a very, very interesting premise. They got Olivia Dabo, who was on the Star Trek Next Generation episode called True Q. And, she was like Nicole Wallace on Law & Order Criminal Intent. So they got her on board. Hana Hate was Molly on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And Gary Lockwood, who was it Lieutenant Mitchell in the pilot, the second pilot of Star Trek, the original series. But he's also better known, I think, as Frank Poole in 2001, The Space Odyssey. So that's the team that they got. They're working on it, and I'm just grateful that they want me to be part of the team. So, yeah, that's definitely in the works.
Awesome. And of course, I do like and follow everything that you do on Facebook. And when you post something about your movies, I kind of stopped with the whole film awards because you get so many of them. That would be all that I would be putting in my news feed.
I apologize.
But, don't apologize for being good at what you at your craft. Anytime that you post about stuff that you were doing, I do repost it in the Pop Culture Kaboom radio show's news feed. So if you are listening, make sure that you do either subscribe to Pop Culture Kaboom, or you can go to www.facebook.com/chasingthegreen to follow everything that Russell Emanuel is doing. Also, his website, which is www.russem.com, and all his movies are up there, as well as links to them. And it is an honor and a privilege to have you on my show, sir. Hopefully we'll be talking to you as soon as you get done filming with The Assassin's Apprentice 2. And when that is ready to, then I can talk to you a little bit more about that, and also the Alien Cross project and Whisper, once you're completely ready for that one to hit the scene, as well as the next webisode of The Meeting. So you got a lot of stuff on your plate. Don't get sick again.
Well, and I do apologize that, you know, we got delayed for, 2 months or so because of that. Yes. So to anybody out there, don't work too hard or you will get bronchitis like I got.
Yeah, which is not good.
Don't want that, trust me.
Yeah.
So. Do not want bronchitis. So, I appreciate that you're having me on the show. I really, really appreciate it. I mean, you don't know how much, it's such an honor. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, sir. And you have a good day and stay healthy. Because you got too much going on. And I'll talk to you in the near future. You have a good night.
For sure. Good night.
So, I think a long time ago I did mention Occupants to you, and I said, hey, you got to check this out.
Yeah, and I watched the trailer for it. It really looks interesting. Now I know you can get it on Prime, so I can go get it.
You're going to go watch that? All right.
Yeah, I am. I will watch that.
All right, and... As The Assassin's Apprentice, too, you got to check out the trailer for that one. That one was really good, too.
Yeah, it looked good. I did catch that.
Oh, okay. So you're up to speed on everything Russell Emanuel.
Yes, I am. as much as anyone can be.
All right. So that was a fun conversation, and I got 5 minutes left to cover still more stuff.